Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and does it just go to show you that the jobs numbers don't mean anything? Have we not figured out that the lies and the misguiding of our government, of the way that they report numbers, is only put there to benefit themselves and what they're trying to accomplish? I mean, you know, when you look at the U3, which is one of the numbers, which is an unemployment number for 3 months, and the U6, you can see how goofy and how far apart they are. True unemployment in this country is well over 10%, maybe well over 11%. And we continue to hear the great Oz, the great and powerful Oz, or in this case, Janet Yellen, talk about how good things are getting and how much better we are progressing. And I would just like to know, Janet Yellen, where are they getting better? Who is actually benefiting from what you're doing? Why are we waiting for inflation when we are now almost going to go into deflation? Is it not enough that you've done, and not you on your own, this is, you had a lot of help here, that you've totally damaged and destroyed middle class America? I mean, how much longer do you think it's going to be before the retailers start closing down? I mean, you've already almost taken small business and entrepreneurs out of business. You're making it where you have to be involved in big corporate. And of course, now companies are becoming too big to fail as they massively grab up the cheap money and continue to either buy back their stock or buy other companies. So my question is when does it stop? When do we actually just rip the damn Band-Aid off and say, okay, you know, you're old enough. You know, it's like when I put my kids on a bicycle. Okay, you had training wheels, and then you went to without the training wheels. When are we taking the training wheels off? Okay. Is this strictly just the stock market? Or is the economy getting better? Now, you know, my opinion is no, the economy sucks. The economy is, I think it's possibly the worst that I've seen in my lifetime. Okay. Now, I was, you know, around in the Carter era, so I know it was bad then as well. But here you've got nothing. You've got a total mess, a total disconnect between everybody. And we continue to see more people working less. We continue to see the participation rate continue to get put farther out in time. Maybe we'll get down to back to the caveman days with our participation rate. I mean, isn't it ridiculous that the population is increasing and the number of people working is getting less? I don't quite understand how we can continue to look at this and say things are actually improving. I would love to know where improvement is. I'm tired of driving around in small industrial areas and seeing one small business after another boarded up because they can no longer compete in the market, because they don't have the access to borrowing money. They don't have the access to that line of credit that we've all become so accustomed to. I'm tired of watching the banks just take in the money and take what really belongs to everybody, but because of the way that it's set up, that only the banks can benefit from what is happening. I'm tired of watching all of the nonsense that we continue to support, saying, oh yeah, it's okay, it'll be better. This time is different. We know that it's going to be better, and we know that if we continue to hide under the bed from the troubles that we're seeing, that things will get better. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's a ridiculous statement. Our leader is a total joke now, and all that's happening now is building his agenda. Of course, I guess what they say, the pen is mightier than the sword, and he's got that magic pen that he can continue to do what he sees. I mean, is this not becoming a circus environment where we've got the most antagonistic president in my time, and we've got both sides of the aisle, again, I don't just pick on one, both sides of the aisle have basically just said, okay, well, let us get our money and screw the rest of you. Okay, let them eat cake, okay, before we send them to the guillotine. But I don't get it. I don't get what anybody's looking at. I can't see. I can't even rationalize. I hear expert after expert talk about, oh, we're never going down again. We're going to keep going up because what? But where is the value? Where did Netflix become worth a billion times what it can make? Do we not think that in this world that there won't be competition that's going to start to cut in their profit margins? I mean, you look and you watch, and in the meantime, Apple, now under a little bit of pressure, which should be under pressure, is certainly, I mean, basically, and the number is not overvalued, but somebody said to me the other day, oh, but it's only trading at a 13 or 14 PE. And I go, yeah, but if the industry, its competition is trading at a 10, then 13 or 14 is high. So the raw PE number, other than when it's totally ridiculous, like Amazon, Netflix, Tesla, a number of the others, doesn't really mean anything, because it's really how are you doing in comparison to the people in your own sector, because that really determines what fair and what not fair is. You know, if the industry standard is 5 and you're at 12, well, you're substantially over what the industry is. So you can't look at it this way. And of course, we continue to see the greed play out here as momentum is chased, and we continue to push higher like they will never go down again. And of course, you will hear the terms, this time is different, it doesn't mean the same. And if you, all you have to do is look back, and you don't have to go back far, this time is never different. Business, markets, everything runs in the same cycles. And if you think differently, well, you'll end up wondering what bus ran over you when the markets take all your money away, which is why you need to be hedged. You need to be set up. You need to be prepared. I'm not telling you to get out. I'm telling you to be prepared for the collapse, or the impending collapse that we're going to have, because you can bet your ass that there will be another collapse. And if you're not prepared, if you're not set up to defend against it, then you got a problem. In the meantime, at Thinkorswim, we don't have a problem. One of our sponsors, one of our great guys, and of course, the software of choice of me and the Badger. And of course, now I'm so happy that I can now offer it to people in Canada. So all you got to do is shoot me an email at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I'll get you hooked up with Thinkorswim, whether you're in the U.S. or in Canada. We're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
this time.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, I've now become a regular contributor to the Stuart Varney Show. And I was with him yesterday. And really a fun show. And check out what me and Varney and the crew had to say on the other day here. Here we go. Here's me on Varney.
It is a Dow stock. It's got problems with ESPN and cord cutters. ESPN is a big earnings source within the company. They got problems there. They're not going to stream ESPN, and the cable cutters are hurting them. Disney down nearly 10%. You don't see that very often. Joining us to cover the opening of the market, we have with us Shah Galani here in New York. Todd Horowitz is there in Chicago. Ashley Webster here. Sandra Smith right here. Okay, Shah, first of all, Disney.
Frightening here. It's at support levels here. If it breaks down here, the stock is in pretty bad shape. I love Disney. I think it's a fabulous company. I'd like to buy it lower, but now I'm a little scared. Any stock that's missing earnings are getting whacked, and this is typical of what's happening as the market tires.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stocks like Disney that have had a rapid run-up all of a sudden. Do you think this is the start of a nasty sell-off in some of those big-name stocks which have run up very nicely?
Considering how many stocks have gotten hit from their bad earnings, it's possible the market has finally tired and we could see the long-awaited correction. It's possible.
Okay, well, go ahead.
A lot of this was Bob Iger, by the way, and he sounded very pessimistic about his long-term views for Disney, and then all the analysts piled on, downgrading their price targets, downgrading their performance ratings on the company, BMO, Jefferies, they all turned negative on Disney after this.
I wonder if they'll get a lawsuit talking the stock down. I mean, that happens, you know.
Yes.
This is America, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
Speaking of big name stocks that have run right up and now are pulling back, look at Apple. Where did that open this morning? We were figuring it would come out at around $112 a share on Apple this morning. It's had a negative six-day performance. It's down, I think, about 10% from the high. Shah Galani.
Love.
You love it.
Love the company. The stock is frightening me here. I think it's got support down at 105. Below that, I'm really scared. I don't understand why it has fallen as quickly as it has. I think the understanding that investors have is it's the law of large numbers. It's so big. Can it continue to grow? That's having some problems in China with competition. Can it continue its growth trajectory? It's hard to say.
But it's sitting on $203 billion worth of cash. Do something with it.
Another time for another announcement of another big buyback.
That
happened before. They put a floor under it in 2012 when they did that.
They should put it in R&D to come out with new products.
I want to bring in a commodity guy. His name is Todd Horowitz. Now, he's used to buying something 1 second and selling it the next second. This guy trades. Pass judgment on Apple for us, will you? Here's a stock that's had this terrific run-up, like virtually none other, and now a very nasty pullback and another pullback today. Mm. How would you trade Apple?
Good morning, Stuart. And a long-term capital gain for a trader is about 30 seconds. I think that Apple probably has a lot more room on the downside, okay? I think we're going to work lower, and we better cover up Shaw there because he's scared. I think you're going to see probably 105 to 100 before we start to see the stock start to move up again. Great company. They have issues with the watch. They've got some other issues, plus the fact that the company has ran up tremendously, and it really traded the basis of 900 and change based on their old 700 high. Tremendous move up, good company. Going a little bit lower here first, though, and I'd look to be a seller still.
All right. Everybody's turned sour on poor old Apple. All of a sudden. Tell me about the watch.
Because they were secretive on the watch numbers. Look, everybody's got an iPhone here, right? So you're talking about competition for smartphones in China heating up, and that's bad for Apple, right? The iPhone market is saturated in the United States. They come out with the iWatch, their best, most innovative new product. Nobody's got one on this table right now. They won't release specific numbers, and that secrecy is scaring everybody. That's where they're running from the stock.
Let's go to Netflix. Their stock price just hit a new all-time high. I think it was around 128. That's the new high, up another 6%. Now, there's a stock that's going the opposite way. I mean, this thing is going up. All the other big names are going down. Shah Galani.
This is the momentum, darling, of the market right now, and I think it's going to continue that way. I know an analyst came out yesterday and projected 160 price target on that. I think that's entirely possible. I was here when the stock split 7-for-1, and I was, I think, the only one saying buy it at that point because it's just a momentum stock. Whether I think it's overpriced, but you have to buy momentum in this market.
Todd Horowitz, you've got to come back in again. I know you're a commodity guy, but I want to know, how would you trade this stock, which is going rapidly higher as other big names go rapidly lower? How would you trade Netflix?
Well, considering last time I was on with you, I said I thought Netflix was a JDS uniphase of the market that was going lower. I'm short it, and I still think it's going lower, but now I've upgraded myself to Blockbuster. I think that it's way out of touch, and it's going tremendously lower eventually.
Wow.
But as Shah says, the momentum is flying here. You can't fight it, but I personally am short it, and I will continue to sell into it because eventually it'll be a $30 or $40 stock.
That's what happens when a commodities guy tries to play around.
That's gutsy.
That is gutsy.
Well, we got him on the show. I mean, yeah. He's got his 10 cents worth in there. Let's go to Etsy. Okay, this is a website. People sell their knickknacks, otherwise known as tchotchkes. They didn't make much money, certainly not as much as they were expecting. Down she goes, 20%. What do you got to say about Etsy, Sandra?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's returning back to its IPO price. The stock's down about 46% since the close of its first day of trading. They've got more customers. They've got more people using and buying and selling on their site, Stuart. So they're doing good on that front, but that's not translating to better results. They've got to figure out how to monetize those users. That's a big hit to the stock.
They're doing good on that front? No, they're doing well on that
sales
front.
Sales were... I did not say that.
Bad grammar, you did.
I did not. We have to look back.
They're doing good on that front, you said it.
I almost never say that.
Moving swiftly along, I just downgraded Etsy and called them tchotchke sellers. Am I being unfair?
Yeah, it's vintage, handmade vintage goods, is that what it is? You said knickknacks, that's probably more accurate.
Nicky-nacky-noo, is it?
Nicky-nacky-noo.
Well, you're right. They're actually telling their suppliers that they can actually go more and manufacture larger quantities. I think that handmade, the advantage that they had of a handmade kind of niche stuff is going to get lost.
Really?
Yes.
So they're going to their suppliers.
They're going more mainstream. They're trying to, and Amazon
just
is stepping
sure,
up and
guys,
they're going to compete with Amazon.
Sales at Etsy were up 44% year over year.
More sellers,
so
more buyers.
Count them so quickly.
Look at operating, the stock's down 20%.
Operating expenses were up 49%.
That's right.
That's the problem.
That tells the story.
Yeah.
We've got some more big name stocks that we follow on a regular basis. First off, Twitter. This morning it is up a little, but it's still at $29 a share. And that chatter about takeovers not going away. Look at Priceline. That's up big. It's above $1,300 per share. Bill Shatner's happy. New all-time high for Priceline. Stellar earnings, the reason. Look at that. $13.56, up $72. We like to follow Tesla. They report after the bell. Elon Musk is going to tell us how many electric cars he sold. The stock is down $3 at the moment. Check the share price of Chipotle. New high for that stock as well. Isn't that amazing? All these new highs, big names. Any comment on Chipotle?
Another momentum stock. I thought his run was over. I have to admit I was wrong. It's bounced back up and it's gone higher. And this one frightens me too, but you've got to go with the momentum. No.
You don't?
Too expensive for me.
Wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole?
No, it's not Netflix.
Wait,
either.
Even too expensive
if you have to ride that train.
Hey, there's another big name that's in the news frequently. Lumber Liquidators. Not selling as much flooring as the analysts expected. Investors still worried about formaldehyde in its laminate flooring that comes from China. Laurie Rothman on the floor of the exchange today. Laurie, what's going on with Lumber Liquidators?
Well, let me tell you, Stuart, you know the question. If a tree falls in the forest, who hears? Well, Wall Street hears Lumber Liquidators totally crashing. Shares were down about 25% in the pre-market. They're opening this morning off 11%. You know, the stories is a surprise second quarter loss. I don't know why everyone says this is a surprise, because if you go back to March in that 60 Minutes piece, as you said, talking about Lumber Liquidators and their China source wood planks possibly having formaldehyde, a cancer-causing agent in many cases. So Lumber Liquidator reports sales of $247.94 million versus the expectation of $258.56 million, and they will not give us an estimate for the full-year forecast. So that's the story this morning, Lumber Liquidators.
All right, Laurie, thanks very much, Laurie, down there on the New York Stock Exchange. Good to see you again. Thanks very much. Check the share price of First Solar. Yes, it made a ton of money. Good time to be in the clean energy business. Todd Horowitz, what do you make of First Solar stock?
I think that, you know, this is a reaction. They didn't make some money, but it's also a reaction to the words of our great president the other day about the energy break. So I think we're getting a little pop there. I think that's, you know, I think that we're never going to get to that solar spot. We continue to still rely on oil. And until we get markets moving and really investigate this spot, solar is, I think, 4% of the entire energy throughout the world.
Yeah.
I think we need to see something going on. But it'd be nice to see it go that way. But I think there's just a temporary blip. And First Solar has been from $19 to $300. I think it'll be somewhere in between until they figure it out.
So First Solar is an Obama rally, basically?
I think it is. Yeah. I mean, they also,
I think so.
They did this big.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back right after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwanted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic process.
The War State by Michael Swanson is a must-read for anyone interested in the critical 20 years after World War II, when the United States morphed from a constitutional republic to a global imperial superpower. Get The War State by Michael Swanson from Amazon.com today.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for Mike McClone from ETF Securities. What's up, Mike McClone?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, listen, you know, I got to have my experts where I got them, and you're one of them, and you write a great report. I read the report out this week, and really great stuff. So, Mike, I don't know where to start here. There's so many things going on in a market that absolutely nothing is going on. What are you seeing here?
Well, one of my rules in research and as being an analyst and strategist my whole career is always tried to provide something that's new and different. So here's something for you that most people probably haven't seen. Now, you mentioned I just finished my Precious Metals Monthly. That's posted on our website. I think it picked up on your website, too. It's for the month of July. One thing I've been noticing lately, and it really happened in the month of July, is the sales of silver coins and gold coins was off the chart. So, for instance, the month of July, the U.S. Mint sold, I think, 5.5 million silver coins, but the total now for 12 months, or the total for this year, it's on pace to be a record year above 45 million ounces. To put that in context, the total supply of silver from U.S. mines every year is about 35 million ounces, and the U.S. Mint has to source its silver from U.S. sources. Now, of course, I'm sure they have stuff in inventory, but the key thing I find interesting is I've kind of overlaid a little bit of a correlation between U.S. Mint silver coin sales and retail sales. Retail sales have been declining. Silver coin sales have been increasing, and I think that's indicative of what we're seeing in this economy. Despite this somewhat of a windfall that we got from, you know, lower energy prices, U.S. consumers are not spending it. They're saving. In fact, they're retrenching based on a lot of this data. Yes, no, we see the unemployment numbers look good, but you look at this data and you see, wow, consumers are not, they're saying, thank you very much, I'm going to save more and spend less.
Well, now, you know, again, I don't see them saving. I don't think the average consumer's got anything. I think they're in trouble because I don't think they're making enough to save any money, and maybe they're running to silver coins and physical because they're worried about everything else. I don't really see the savings. Are you seeing a place where they're saying, hey, they really are saving money? I don't see any savings.
Well, that's a good point. I think what I'm deducting from this fact of flows is people are more focused on capital preservation. And despite the fact that, you know, we've seen in the past, we'd say, oh man, energy prices have declined, which is, you could say taxes have declined. You'd expect consumers to pick up their spending. Well, last retail sales number was negative. The trend in retail sales for the last 4 or 5 years has been down. And the year-over-year level's running at 1.3%, which is close to recessionary. And in that environment, the Fed's talking about tightening, which is very strange.
Well, I mean, the Fed is strange. And of course, you know, when you look at the jobs numbers, they're brutal. You saw ADP's numbers, they missed substantially. And of course, the market rallied huge off of the miss because, of course, the money at play, the big money, says, well, good, that's more good for us. We can stay involved and continue to borrow cheap money and try to return a rate. They're doing the old, you know, the old hedge or the old, what do you call it, the carry trade type of thing. I mean, I don't see it, Michael. I see an economy that has never come out of recession, and I don't see a benefit from the low oil prices. We've seen no more spending anywhere, and we still see less people working. So where is the improvement going to come from?
Well, wages. And I mean that sarcastically. The last, as most of us have seen, that last employment cost index number came out at 0.2%, which is the lowest in the history of this measurement back in 1982. So people are not making more money. Yes, they might be working based on the data, but what I see is there's a lot of people working two jobs. They're underemployed. And the thing that I find, you know, shocking is there's just absolutely no signs of the old signs of inflation we used to see where, you know, demand pull inflation from like commodities. And that's the one thing that's really scary. I mean, this collapse in commodities, these things don't happen without repercussions, without a reason. And one thing you should expect from something like this is a lot of these, you know, peripheral countries that export commodities to have some major issues with their debt. You know, they're not getting the revenue. And one of them is Russia. Remember what happened in 1998 when Russia had debt issues? The long-term capital management does not remember that one very well.
Well, you know, unfortunately, and to me, this is the rub, and this is where everybody forgets about what happened in the past. But in the meantime, we've got a mess, and I don't care what anybody says, this is going to be an ugly mess. And of course, the problem we have also is the way that the government reports numbers. For example, in the unemployment or the jobs number, they use the U3 instead of the U6. Well, the U3, if you work 1 hour within that 3 month period, you're considered employed. Now, I don't know what you think, but I say that the middle class has never left the recession that was started in 2008.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I do like to see that on the, you know, the rate that they publish, and you know, you see unemployment claims or improvement over the last 5 years is really nice. But I like to, my bottom line in research is, you know, follow the money. And if this were true, if we were doing so much better economically, why did we just have a massive downgrade in all the GDP forecasts for the last few years? And bottom line, the thing you know, I keep pointing out is retail sales. Retail sales should be doing better and trending higher. It's the money. And I don't see, if people were doing better, they would be spending. And the fact is that retail sales are very poor. So I look at, you know, the earnings analysis for, you know, just earnings, or currently in the earnings season, and you see that the overall sales trend, I mean, earnings are basically designed to beat. Everybody underestimates their earnings so they can beat the analysis. It looks great. But this actual sales surprise trend is up less than 1%. There's just not that increase in sales. And then also I look at, one thing I've always liked to watch is expected earnings for the next year. That's so important because that's the goal of the market, is to be able to beat those expected earnings. So for the first time since 2008, the expected earnings for the S&P 500 for in the next year, which currently is August, compared to last August, is down.
Well, I mean, is that a surprise to you? I mean, let's analyze it. We've got no growth in this country. Agree or disagree?
Well, you look at the data, and it's basically very stagnant, very slow growth. Historically, very low growth.
Well, let's say no growth, just for my example, because there is no growth. I mean, if you think now we can no longer grow at 7% because we're too big, and I get that. I mean, it's, you know, different than, you know, you take a company that goes from the Russell into the S&P. Well, when they get to the S&P, they're already a big company. It's hard for them to grow. You know, the big majors, I mean, the conglomerates, they grow a little bit at a time. They cannot, there's no way to reprocess the numbers, which is why when everybody says, well, China's at 7 or 8% and you know, we're at 2%. Well, I mean, 2% is not good, but 7%, we could not do a 7% because we're just too big to make that much growth. But earnings, I mean, you know, how much more stock are they going to buy back? How many more mergers and acquisitions are there going to be to actually promote the phony earnings that we have seen over the last 3 or 4 years to begin with? We have not seen in this country, other than a few, we have not seen any true natural growth. Maybe with some hormones, we've seen growth, but we have not seen any true natural growth. Agree or disagree?
Well, I have to agree, basically, bottom line for me, following the money, and this trend down in retail sales for the last, well, since really 2011, where it peaked around 6-7% annually, well, that is growth. That's what we've seen in the past, but it's been trending down. This is nothing new, but running around 1.3% annually, that is not growth. That's just kicking the tires, just barely kicking the can down the road, just barely getting by.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, it's really... I think we're really in a sad state from an economy point of view. I think we'll be able to come out of it. I think this is, you know, no more than anything else. It's natural. It's happened. You know, this is just a sheep in different clothing, whatever the saying is. But this is no less a asset bubble than we've seen of other asset bubbles. And this one will also pop before it's all done, because you cannot keep ignoring the truth.
Well, as they say, it's different this time, right?
Well, that's what they say, and we know how many guys have gone broke thinking it's going to be different this time, because, you know, one thing we know for sure, okay? By the end, you can get away with some of this artificial growth in the Teslas of the world and, you know, the Netflix of the world. I mean, I really don't get it. I mean, I watched the other day, we saw Disney got clobbered because their earnings miss, and yet Netflix continues to spike to new highs for absolutely no reason. I mean, you can tell me whatever you want, but the valuation of these companies is totally out of sync and totally ridiculous. And of course, the real companies are starting to really get hit pretty hard. Even Apple has taken a major pop recently.
Well, what scares me the most about the equity market is the pattern, something you and I have been born and raised to train to watch when we're in the pits. So let's get the pattern in the equity market. We have not had a correction in the NASDAQ below the 52-week moving average on a weekly basis since the election 2012. And the election in 2012 was a great opportunity to buy stocks. Just because Obama was reelected, the market got hammered. That's what I always look for, stupid reasons to buy or sell. And that was like, awesome, thank you very much. Your market's going to correct for no reason. Didn't really change anything. Things, boom, it went straight up, and the market's increased maybe 100% since then. What I don't like is when you have a market that goes too far above maybe what you would say in a first, second, or third standard deviation and doesn't correct. And the best example in history was the housing market from 2002 to 2006. And I remember Alan Greenspan saying, even in testimony, oh, it's never gone down, and not, you know, more than 1% in, you know, since the Great Depression. I'm like, well, oh, things go down when they go up too fast, and that's what I'm worried about, or too far without a normal correction. That's what scares me. That's what I lose sleep over, is please just give us some normal volatility, and we haven't had that in such a long period. It's really scary.
It is very scary, and it's very scary that we have people like Alan Greenspan and Ben Bernanke and now Janet Yellen running our Federal Reserve, because they're really cut out to really handle and take care of the banks. But this is Mike McClone from ETF Securities. You got to check it out. They've got great stuff, great products that can really benefit you, especially in times like this, because we know that there's going to be some sort of action, and we know that eventually the metals are going to pick up. Check them out. Mike McClone, ETF Securities. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my man Mike McClone, ETF Securities. I think some of the finest products, especially based around the metals markets, which I think is a place that everybody needs to start observing, looking, and getting into. Again, I'm not telling you to take all your money, because I would never do that, but to work the endowment type model, having precious metals as a part of your portfolio is important, and I think there's no better way than going through ETF Securities to go ahead and get those and use part of those. And what do you think about that, Mr. McClone?
Well, absolutely, diversification. Now, based on our discussion earlier, one thing that I keep mentioning that I come back to, and that's the U.S. bond market in gold. Now, there's certain investments I suggest overweighting in, and those are true. U.S. bond market in gold, maybe precious metals, partly because if we're wrong, and see, if these investments do not do well, then to me it's generally a signal that the whole rest of the entire investment outlook, notably the equity market, is doing great. And what I'd like to point out about the bond market, which I'd like to use as a credibility factor too, because we don't have products there, to me it's just warning what happened. If you look at the bond market in 2000 and the U.S. bond market, Treasuries market, 2014, everybody hated yields are going to go up, but the number one traded ETF, TLT, was up 30%. Now, it's back down a little bit this year. It's gave you a good correction. And to me, that's where you're supposed to say, thank you, I'll reload. And gosh, you know, if I'm wrong, that means inflation's picking up because of demand and, you know, the economy's expanding. But, oh, by the way, these U.S. Treasuries yields 1%, almost double what you get in Europe, and the trend has been up. And what if we get an equity market correction? What if this commodity deflation really turns into be something that matters? Meaning, we're, you know, despite the fact is we're having this global, you know, pumping of liquidity, that we're just not getting inflation. So I view those things as quite attractive. Somewhat gold and definitely U.S. bond market. And the thought is, if I'm wrong, everything else is doing fine. Economy's doing great. Stocks are probably doing better. I probably have a job. In the meantime, you need to be diversified and protected, and that's an area I still say thank you. But how about still being prudent?
Well, again, the job is always going to be a problem because we just keep losing jobs after jobs, and they keep replacing them. And of course, we just saw in Seattle where they did increase the minimum wage to $15. And, of course, the people that got that said, well, you know, maybe you should cut our hours a little bit so we can keep collecting our entitlement benefits. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's more your area. But, you know, when you mandate increases in wages, people are going to lose jobs. And, unfortunately, that's going to be a great opportunity to replace people with technology, which is unfortunate except for those people who are in the business of providing the technology. So my rule is always be careful about, you know, mandating increasing wages. And as an employee, my goal is always try to, you know, want and make my employer guilty about not paying me more, and that's by being the best employee I can and being as skilled and educated as possible.
Now, what's wrong with gold, Mike? You know, I mean, I'm not even talking about whether it's going up or down. It basically hasn't even, it's almost been like it's been closed for about the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, first of all, the number one issue with gold is this dichotomy of the U.S. Federal Reserve tightening, dollar strength in basically a deflationary global environment. So just look at the facts. Gold is down on a 12-month basis, the last 12 months, down about 16%. The U.S. dollar index is up about 18%. So there's a direct correlation. Gold, in terms of the euro currency, is up almost 2% over that time period. So this U.S. dollar index, the Fed's tightening, the U.S. economy is doing better, is what's pressuring gold. But is that going to continue? And you're also looking at what I find quite interesting is all the precious metals are getting really cheap relative to their cost of production. So one thing I did is did some analysis on this, and this is not on our website yet, but it'll probably be soon. Gold over, you know, the margin of gold over its cash cost of production is the lowest since 2007. Silver is the lowest since 2005, so that's over 10 years. And if you look at platinum and palladium, my database only goes back 15 years to 2000. It's the lowest ever on my database, and it's kind of hard to get data, good data, back 2000. So gold is going to continue to suffer if the dollar continues to really blast off like it's been doing, and the Fed's going to tighten. But one, you know, I heard one expert say, you know, I think the day to buy gold is the day the Fed tightens, if they do, which might be a big mistake.
So, you know, I look at gold, and again, I look at it more from a trading standpoint and a volatility standpoint. And, you know, I call gold as in a coma, and if it was on the table and the doctor was operating on it, it would just pull the plug because there's just nothing happening. And, of course, we know that that's going to change as well. Does gold, in your opinion, have a chance to go down and break the 1,000 barrier on the downside? Yeah.
Well, it could do anything. I mean, it certainly could. You know, we all know markets can remain irrational more longer than we can remain solvent. But what I see is what's really developing in this precious metals markets, the things I pointed out, in this Precious Metals Monthly that you can get, you know, my on my website and our website for July, is these extreme cases of capitulation. So let's look at gold, for example. Open interest, futures open interest in gold on the year is increasing a lot. It's up about 20% on the year. Now, my database only goes back to 1997. That's never happened in a down market. So when open interest increases and the market goes down, it means there's new shorts coming in the market. So they're becoming excessive. Now, we discussed this last week, and that's happening in almost all the precious metals markets. So there's pretty good signs of extremes where when you see things like that, if you're short, you get out. If you're a trader, you say, yeah, you know, maybe I'll get a little overweight and buy some calls. And you expect something like, you know, what happened in 1998 when the markets just blasted off, where now they suffer. And then all of a sudden you wake up and boom, everything just jumps more than you ever expected it. And that's what I think might happen in the precious metals. So I'm really worried. Number one, don't be short. It might be time to look to be buying calls on precious metals. You know, you can lose a premium, but that's it. And then, but you could expect to make, you know, multiples of that value at some point. You never know what the catalyst is going to be, but that's how extreme the markets are getting in precious metals. There's so many of those signs.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big signs I look at is the relationship of gold to the S&P 500. You know, it typically trades at a ratio of about 1.5 to 1, and now it's well over 2 to 1 S&P over gold, and I think that's an issue. But again, of course, waiting for it to happen. You know, some of the corn wheat traders are still waiting for wheat to go back over corn. Actually, it did, but for 2 years, wheat actually went under corn, and of course, it broke a lot of traders because of that. And the relationship and the divergences in the market are kind of scaring me as well, Mike. You've got the Dow and the Russell have been unbelievably weak, where the S&P and the NASDAQ have been unbelievably strong. Take anything away from that?
Yes. Well, first of all, let's look at gold to the S&P 500. It's the lowest. It's at half in the value. That's, you know, I have my chart in front of me. That's the lowest level since 2007. And remember, that was pretty, that was a tough year for me because I was bearish, and it didn't go down. And then finally, got everything back in 2008. So I think that's happening. One thing that's happening in the equity market that's scaring a lot of people is the large caps are outperforming the equal weight. So for instance, lately, the S&P 500, which is a market cap weight index, has been outperforming the equal weight index. And that's happening in the Russell. It's happening all over the place. And a lot of people are looking at it as a bit of a bearish divergence. Now, it is August, and everything has to be taken with a grain of salt, but there is a lot of signs that we should be, you know, lightening up and be careful. But, you know, some of us have seen those for a while, and that's where, you know, we always like to focus on diversification, you know, the good products. Just make sure you're well prepared and make sure you're ready to load up when you finally get a correction. I didn't say yes. The problem is it's been so long, I'm kind of afraid it might be a little bit bigger than most of us want it to be.
Well, I'm calling for a big haircut when it does come, because again, the longer you put trouble on the side and don't take care of it when you can, we all know, I mean, it's no different than a human being. You know, you hide from a mistake you made, and the mistake compounds, and you end up with a much bigger disaster. But, you know, again, that's our wonderful Federal Reserve. So as we move on, Michael, here, what are we looking for overall? I mean, what's your short-term view of the entire situation here, and then, you know, does it work itself out and anytime soon, or do we continue at this ridiculous dribble pace and not much going on?
Well, certainly for August, I think it's more the latter, what you said, you dribble around. But this is starting to concern me. It's a little bit of like 1998. And I never forget being on, you know, I had a lot of customers. We kept looking at euro dollars, and the euro dollars rates just kept going declining and declining, and they shouldn't have been. We didn't know why, so we just kept buying some calls. And then we heard, you know, the Russia blew up, long-term capital management blew up, and all these things did very well. And that's what I'm kind of concerned about now. The bond market just keeps doing fine. Yet it shouldn't be. But then you look at some other things like, you know, deflation, you know, all these commodities collapsing. So I see things brewing similar to 1998 and potentially like 2008. Remember, summer is really quiet because of the Olympics, and we should be expecting, you know, certainly should be expecting some volatility in the fall. And I think one thing about the Fed is they're probably, unfortunately, unlikely to tighten if the equity market goes down, and they're more likely tightening if the equity market goes up, which is something that we might have to consider, which means volatility probably.
And that's the way it is. Mike McClone, ETF Securities, you are always on top of our game, and we certainly appreciate you having you on. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
That is Mike McClone from ETF Securities. Check out their ETFs on gold, silver, glitter, the one that combines all the precious metals. Number one in my book. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. The Bubba Show. Grab a piece of something that you think is going to last.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.